saved from what? We're studying the book of Romans chapter 1. We're still in verse 16 to 17. We probably conclude chapter 16 today, verse 16, and then move on to verse 17, which is the central theme of the book of Romans. That is the righteousness of God. We'll move on to the central theme of the book of Romans, or the weight of verse 3, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8. So we want to look at two things that the Spirit of God is revealing to the whole world about salvation, about the gospel. So we read Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power." I'm reading King James Version. It's what I'm reading. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto" what? "Salvation to everyone that simply believes, to the Jews first, and also to the Greeks." So it's telling us that the gospel of Christ brings salvation. What is another word for salvation? Deliverance. Deliverance. Everybody say deliverance. It's simple English grammar. To be saved from something is to be delivered from something. Redemption is part of it. So that through the gospel, that salvation is brought to man, which means deliverance is brought to you. Freedom is brought to you. Salvation means deliverance, means freedom. Let's say that together. Say it aloud. Come on. And you know, it's in the Christian world, not many people even know what it means to be saved. We just said, "I'm saved." When you say saved from what, they can't go further than that. I didn't know anything about this for many years, and I was still going to church. As a matter of fact, I did Sunday school and passed. But I didn't have any understanding about what Jesus really died for me. My understanding was superficial. It was not deep at all. And to many Christians, the word saved doesn't mean deliverance. Because they think you have to have what? Deliverance. After you've been delivered. If you understand you've been delivered, you'll not be looking for another what? Deliverance. The reason is because we don't understand basic English, that the Bible told us that this is your freedom. That if the Son shall set you what? Free. Isn't setting free deliverance, church? And he says you are free, which means you are really, really free. And because we don't understand this, we don't know what Jesus achieved, so we think we have to get it through other means, ritualistic means, and some of these things. And we don't know how to fight for what he already gave us. For instance, the Bible says you shall resist evil. He said, don't let yourself go into bondage again. Because we don't understand that we're free from all bondages. And we don't fight it off. So we've been saved. We've been set free. We've been delivered. Can I hear amen? We've been what? Saved. We've been what? Set free. We've been what? Delivered. Can we go through that again? We've been what? Saved. We've been what? Set free. We've been what? Delivered. Let's go through that again. We've been what? Saved. We've been what? Set free. And we've been what? And you are still talking of the same thing. The same thing. So we're looking at and saying, what were we saved for? What were we delivered from? What is this freedom that Jesus gave us? And we said that we had freedom from the wrath of God. And when you come to chapter 1 and we go down from verse 18, you begin to understand why this understanding of freedom from the wrath of God is so important. Because you will see how Paul was making a very serious argument that man is inherently evil. And that there's nothing that will deliver man from the wrath of God. You will see how these things are really, really connected very, very easily. Very, very easily. You will see how Paul is making an argument that man can never be righteous. That man is totally ungodly because of his fallen nature. Both Jews and Gentiles. So he finally came to chapter 3. He said, for all have what? That conclusion. He said, the summary of everything I say is all have sinned. So, the wrath of God, we are saved from the wrath of God, not from what we have done, but from what Jesus, what? You can't talk to me. You are not sure. We are saved from the wrath of God, not from what we have done, but from what Jesus, what? Did. You must believe these things. This is absolute truth. Absolute truth. For instance, if he didn't shed his blood, your sin and my sin will remain. And we face the wrath of God. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remittance of sin. So if your sin is not remitted, my sin is not remitted, the only thing remaining is the judgment of God, the wrath of God, that comes upon children of disobedience because of their sin. So it's what Jesus did that saved you and I from the wrath of God. Said, when I see the blood, I shall what? Pass over you. The wrath will pass over. And then we said that we are saved also from the power of sin. Because our problem was our nature. We were sinful by nature. That's the argument we continue to make down in verse, from verse 19 down, that we are sinful by nature. And so we needed to be saved from that nature that is sinful. Because you know that a mango tree cannot produce a pear fruit. There's no way a human being can produce the life of God except his nature is what? Changed. That's what Jesus was saying. He said, I'm the true vine. And you can't bear fruit except you're attached to the true vine. So if you are the wild vine, you can't bear the fruit of the true vine. 10 commandments cannot make you bear it. 20 commandments can. The only thing that, and again, if as we study, you're going to come and find out in chapter 2 also, where Paul concluded, he said, the only thing that helps man is that the Spirit of God changes him. If you give man 20 commandments, 10 commandments, those commandments that God gave to man, the Bible said, what the Lord could not do, God what? Did. There is no law that can give life. The Bible said, if there's any law that can give life, then righteousness should have come by the law. So now you, a man whose nature is not changed, you give him all the wonderful commandments. The Bible said the commandments is holy, but the man that to whom it is given is what? Unholy. Now the man's nature is evil. I mean by nature, I'm right-handed by nature. So he said the man's nature is evil. By nature, he is a child of disobedience, a child of wrath. You give him all, they gave Moses all those things to give to the man that is a child of wrath. And the Bible said that all the law did was to expose him, that is a sinner. Because if there was no law, he wouldn't know he was breaking the laws of what? Of God. Are you following me? If you are following me, say amen. And so the only way you can make that man do what God wants is to change his nature to be like God. Because like begets what? Like. So it's only the only way is to change his nature. And don't forget that the life we're talking about is the spirit life. It's not the natural life of a man. That's why the Bible talks of the fruit of the spirit. And then the works of the flesh. It is the spirit, it's the spirit life. It's the life of God. And no man can live it. Except God gives him his life and his nature. Do we agree? Only three people said yes. The rest of you, how can you live it? And so the Bible tells us, I'm going through this because not many people understand this thing. That's why people are conflicted about the law and grace. A lot of Christians are still confused about the law and grace. That grace will bring us salvation. Grace will bring us new life. Because there's no other way we'll come except God does it for you free of charge. You have nothing you can pay God for. And so the scripture says in Ephesians 2:10 that for us to be able to live the life that God intends for us to live, that God had to recreate us and make us new creatures. In Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created. Did you see the word created? Created where? I can't hear you. Where are we created? If any man is what? He's a what? So we are created. Which means we were not there like that. God created it. He made it. And so, and then created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before what? Ordained that we should walk in them. So he said, now you've been created, so you now have the ability to walk in those things that God has planned for you to walk in. Before you were created, you could not. If you read the book of Romans down to chapter 6, you will see that where the scripture says that those that are not in Christ are excused from righteousness because they can't. All their righteousness is filthy rag. Amen? I said amen. I've taken time over and over to explain this simple thing. Because if you don't understand this simple thing, church, my brothers and sisters, you will be very carnal. I'm not kidding you. You will be. Where is the faith that will produce the thing now? If you don't understand it, is it not the just shall live by what? It's faith. It's when you believe these things, it begins to work. When you don't understand them, you won't believe that. And if you don't believe what God has done, you're already in rebellion against the truth. You know, people don't know that doubt is sin. But the Bible calls it evil. It's rebellion. Because the Bible says if you don't believe God, you are calling him a what? A liar. You're already in rebellion against the truth. And so how can it work for you? How will you not be carnal? How will you not come to church and have a different character in church, a different one in the house, a different one in your job? How will it not be? And sometimes when you hear sermons that really convince you that what you are doing is wrong, you can cry in church. But how to escape that thing, you don't know. And how to escape it? It's simply by knowing the truth. For when you know the truth, then the truth shall what? Simply by knowing this truth that this is what God has accomplished. You just believe it. Only believe and you see the glory of God begin to work. It doesn't take your effort to do all these things. All it takes is to believe what God has done. If you understand me, say amen. If you didn't understand me, say amen. Okay? So, is everybody clear on this point? The reason you can do good works is not because of your effort. It's because God created you to be like him. He gave you a new life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it what? More abundant. So he created us new, gave us new life, so that we can now do those good works that God intends for us to do. Now sometimes we think that the way to do these good works is to say, I'm not going to do this one again. That's nonsense. That's not the way to work. That's not the way of faith. That's pride. That's boasting in your effort and what you can do. And if that is what you are doing, you will remain carnal. You still do those things and do what? More. The only thing you can do now is to perfect a way of hiding them. I'm telling you the truth. I've been around a long time. It's to perfect a way of hiding them. The people who know you know that you are a difficult human being. And everywhere you go, your story will be going around. Your story will be going, I'm not kidding you, your story will be going around. Because my people say that when a bird is flying without pitching, you start firing it without what? Aiming. There's no way you are, people don't know. It's only you that is deceiving yourself that nobody knows. I'm telling you the truth of the matter. You can be so quiet, people know you. Church, let me repeat it again. If you walk in ignorance, it will walk counter to your progress spiritually. Because Jesus, the Bible says, my people perish for what? If you walk in ignorance, it will keep you from spiritual growth. You won't grow spiritually. You won't grow in grace. You won't grow in faith. You won't grow in power. You'll be a baby. 10 years, 18 years, you'll still be a baby. So that's why it's important to understand these things. To know that God has created you new and that you're a new creature. Did you hear Paul? Paul said, I used to look at myself from natural what? Point of view. He said, I don't do that what? Anymore. He said, now I believe that if any man is in Christ, is what? A new creature. So that's why I see myself now. I now see myself in Christ. He said, I don't want to be found in anything. I want to be found in Him. And be exactly what He made me to be in Him. That's why you want to find yourself. I want to be found in Christ. Because in Christ, I'm a new what? Creature. Somebody say amen. Oh man, not this time and this. Alright, so we are saved from the power of Satan. Can we say amen? We are saved from what? Colossians 1:12. Colossians 1 verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Partakers of the inheritance. Inheritance. If you have an inheritance, is it not a blessing that you have? So we are partakers of the blessings of saints in light. Christ is the light in Christ. 13. Let's read 13 together. Can we go? Who had delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom. So, where are you now? Are you in the kingdom of Satan? Huh? Where are you? Do you think that when you die, you are going to go into another kingdom? I'm asking. You are in it, and that's where you are. If you don't get in it in life, you won't get in it in death. Death is not it's not something that makes you holy. Actually, the Bible says that death is an enemy that will be dealt with finally. So that enemy cannot be what God is using. We have this erroneous belief that when you die, then you become righteous. Then you know, this kind of childish kind of picture, then you'll be white. That here you cannot be what? White. So you can't be a saint until after you die, and then the Pope will make you a saint. And we have all this kind of belief that I will go to the kingdom. I will make it into the kingdom. And the Christian is really working hard. Laughable, but he's working hard to go to where he already is. Thinking that when I die now, I hope I walk into the what? To the kingdom. To Jesus will open the door for me. Where are you? I'm asking a simple question. Where are you now? You don't know. Now, if you, Pastor, listen to me. If you don't know, I want to tell me how you can claim the benefits in the kingdom. Aren't you going to walk without them? Because you're not sure you are there. See why Christians are not enjoying fullness of Christ. If I'm not sure I'm in the kingdom, I'm going to be begging God for the things that are already what? Mine. Because I'm not in the kingdom because I believe that it is when I die, then they dress me in white, my corpse in white. And the people come crying. Then that is when they say, shall I come in the heaven? The saints are now in heaven. I didn't write the Bible. The Bible says you're already in the kingdom of what? If you are not in His kingdom, in whose kingdom are you? Huh? In limbo. Can somebody say amen? What is Jesus? Huh? Where are you seated? So if you are seated with Christ, in what kingdom are you seated? Okay. You will not have the boldness to enjoy your blessings because you will believe it's not yours. You have this Adamic mindset. This Adamic mindset that doesn't believe in what Christ has done. That you think you are being humble by begging for what is yours. You will not walk in the boldness of the children of God. You will not walk in the authority and the power that belongs to you. You will not. When you dream in the night, you will be fasting to do. You don't understand the authority of the kingdom that you have. Can I hear amen? Let's read it again. Colossians 1:13. Colossians 1 what? Who had delivered us, I can now remove us and put me. Who had delivered what? Me from the power of darkness and translated me into what? So where are you now, church? If you are not convinced, tell me. Let me repeat it. God doesn't have two kingdoms. God has only one what? Kingdom. And another name the scripture used for it is the family of God. That's why the family of God in heaven and earth work together. That's why I say, what things ever you bind on earth, what? Because the kingdom is working together. That's why angels come when you have fellowship. The powers, the same power of the kingdom. Jesus is the head of that kingdom. Let me repeat it. When you pass from here to out of this world, you are not going into another kingdom. You're already there. Stop walking to be there. You're already there. Tell your neighbor you are in the kingdom already. Okay, what did Jesus say? It has pleased your Father to give you the keys of what? The kingdom. So you can use the things that is there now. Not when you die. Not when you die. So Paul says something in Ephesians 3, 14 to 15. Ephesians 3, 14 to 15. Are we making progress? I told you today we'll be talking. Ephesians 3, what? For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Church, listen to the Holy Spirit talk to you, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is what? So he called us that we are in one family. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of Christ. The family of God. That's another name for it. How many of us are in the family of God? Okay, put that. How many of us are in the kingdom of God? Some of you don't believe in the kingdom. If you are not in the family of God, why are you in the kingdom? Let me tell you something. If I can you come for a second? If I is Christ and I'm joined to him, are we one? Huh? How can I be in another kingdom from where he is? If I'm joined to him, where is Christ now? The head of the kingdom of God. So where am I supposed to be? Huh? You think if I die, this union is separated? No. The Bible says it's eternal. for eternity. Picture yourself joined to him. And if I've joined to him, then I'm in his kingdom. And what do you know? We become one spirit with him. One spirit with him. Not two. And so he's seated at the right. No, somebody should bring chair. Because we need to be seated, really. Two chairs. We're seated. Those of you at the back, can you see us? If you can't see us, you are backsliding. That's why you can't see us. So I am joined to him, right? And he's seated at the right hand of what? In what kingdom are we seated? Am I in the kingdom of God now? I thought it's after I die. You see, that's what Christians believe. You see, that's what Christians believe. They believe they are working hard to go to the kingdom of. And because of that, all the benefits in the kingdom, you don't even go for them. Seated with him in heavenly. Oh, is that where we're seated? Really? Is it after we die? If you are seated there, where are you now? In the kingdom of God? Or in the kingdom of the world? Where are you? Thank you, my brother. Did you read the scripture that says we're of the world, but we are in the world, but what? Which means we are not in this kingdom of this world. The God of this kingdom of this world is Satan. We are not in the kingdom of the world. And that's why we do things the world does, because we don't understand what totally the different things. And we do the way they do things, we do things. If they quarrel, you quarrel. In your job, if they are fighting and fighting for position, they didn't promote you, you fight and do all that kind of stuff. Because you don't understand how the kingdom you belong to operates. That operates by faith in the King of Kings. And your faith is always your victory. So let me surprise many of you. You're already in the kingdom of God. So if you die, you are, the same Christ you join with is still with you. You are not going to be, you are not like a 18-wheeler. That when you die, hey, Christ will uncouple. No, you have his life for eternity. For eternity. First Corinthians 6:17. First Corinthians 6:17. But he that is joined, come on now. He that is what? Joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit with Jesus. And that's why, now listen to me now. That's why the Bible says you have overcome them. Because the greater what? Is in you. He's joined with you. The Lord is now the strength of my life. Of who shall I fear? Joined with you. Become one with you. So your victory is not based on your strength now. Because there's added ability which you didn't have before. So now you can do, including overcoming them. Ephesians 2:5. Let me ask you a question again. This side, can you please help me out? Are you in the kingdom of God? Huh? Oh, no, I thought it's after death. Really? This side, let me ask you. Are you in the kingdom of God? Really? But I'm seeing you here now. You are in America. Are you in Christ? Is Christ in his kingdom? So where are you? Spiritual reality. When you were born again, made new creature, did you feel anything? This is spiritual reality. Ephesians 2:5. But even when we were dead in sin, had quickened us together. What the word together. Quickened us together. Quickened, gave us life together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And had raised us up what? And had raised us up what? And made us sit what again? Did you see the word together repeating? Joined to Christ, you become one. So together. Raised you up together. Made you sit what? Together. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In then verse Ephesians 1:19 tells us the story again. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to all to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above what? So where are you seated? Come on, talk to me. Far above what? Far above what? And what again? Power. And what again? Now let's take it one by one, verse 21. Far, it's not just above. We're talking of what? Far above. All, not some. All what? Including the one you saw in the dream. All of them. All of them. You are seated far above all principality and what again? Power. And what again? Might. And what again? Dominion. And in case that is not enough, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is what? That this is eternal situation. Because you are joined to the King of Kings, joined to Christ. Now, do you think angels have names? Angels, do they have names? Names. Do you know you are in spiritual authority, you are above angels? Because he says all names that are named. Because Christ is above them. And you are joined to him. And you are on spirit with him. Wherever he's seated is what? Where what? Seated. Angels are below him. And you are seated with him. Where angels? He said, which of the angels did he say at any time, sit by my right hand? None of them. Except all of us. We are the ones that sit there. None of them. He said, which of the angels did he say at any time, sit by my what? None of them. Except us. Except us. We are raised together with him, seated together with him in heavenly places at the right side where no angel sits. And that's why the Bible says that angels are your servants. Can I hear amen? They were sent to minister to us. Because in heaven we are the sons of the Most High God. Man, do you know when the children of the Queen pass, the whole of Britain stands at attention? Simply because they were born in royalty. Can I hear him? If God says you are my child, you're also born in royalty. So angels serve you. Praise the Lord. Verse 22. Ephesians 1:22. And had put all things, how many things? All things under his feet. Who is his feet? The church. He is the head, we are the body. You don't understand this thing. He is the head. And we are his what? Body here. We are his feet, we are his hand, we are his mouth, we are his body. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things. To what? To what? Come on. He's the head over all things, to the church. And then the church is his body. Which is his body. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. The church is the fullness of him. So you and Satan, who is higher in spiritual authority? Huh? So we're talking about him binding you and keeping you bound. Why you talk stuff like that? Is this the privilege of pastors? Huh? Is it the privilege of everybody that's in Christ? If you are one of us, say amen. I've said it here, let me repeat it. The devil is the most cowardly and most fearful spirit. The Bible says so. Did you know how the Bible describes it? It says he remembers there is God. He what? He quakes in his pants. He's shaking. Just remembering. Just believing that God is. He is what? Which is in a perpetual state of fear. Perpetual state of fear. Beware the bold. Because we have received the spirit of what? Power. What again? Love and what? That's the spirit of power. That's what we have. He has fear. But he wants to transfer the fear to you by making you you know, I told you a story. I will repeat that story. You know, when I was pastoring in Lagos, there was something that happened. And all these people, they were running from one part of our building. They were running towards me. I mean, running like terrorized people. And I said, what? He said, Pastor, something is moving behind the building. I said, really? He said, it's moving. Hey, man, they were. And I said, let me go. And they couldn't even go with me. So I was going. So they were following me from a distance so that if there is death, I will be the one. So I went there and I saw the thing moving behind. It has a real frightening. So I went nearer. It was banana leaf that grew over from the neighboring compound. And in the sea hut of, you know, darkness and something, it was showing like a frightening when the wind was moving it. That's the devil. That's exactly what it is. Banana leaf. I'm telling you, ordinary banana leaf was making, and the whole bunch of so-called Christians were running. They were running from banana leaf. I remember one time I was in church, and one woman came from nowhere. When he came, there was pandemonium in the church. I never met her before. I didn't know her. They said, they came and whispered to me, said, Pastor, she's the most dangerous woman in the whole of Makoko. That even her children run from her. I said, so what? So what? Talking about God of you. See, the devil wants to save you. So they went and they were now peeping to watch how I will finally maybe die or something. Where are we seated? Far. If you don't know the truth, you will lose battles. So and I said to him, I said, what do you want? I said, I want prayer. Right? You know, that's mockery kind of thing. I said, okay, let's pray. Brethren, I just said in Jesus' name, something lifted out like paper, hit on the wall like this, all over the place. Pam, pam, pam. And they now came out. All those people came out. I said, go away. This is not you. Get out. I was just watching her. Boom, boom, all over the place. I was still sitting where I said. Why? Joined to Christ. I was seated there, but the greater one was also what? Joined to me. Can I hear amen? One came, another woman came, and then that one was so dangerous. What she did was I can't even tell you all the details. She came and sat before me, and then all her breasts were showing. And the Lord said, you take care and pray for her, but don't pray for her alone. He said, get some people to see what will happen. So I called our staff. I said, let's pray for her. Immediately we started to pray. The same thing happened. The thing carried her like paper. Boom, boom, boom. Pulled her cloth up. And all the things she packed in her pants showed. It was juju she packed them. The thing was exposed. I'm telling you, I was just watching. I said, wow. Powerless power. Banana. Banana. Because all powers in heaven and earth has been given to Christ. I handed it to us. Can I hear amen? Before I left for this country, the same woman came back. She was looking so sickly. Couldn't even recognize her. He said, I came to apologize for what I did. I said, what do you do? He said, I was the one that came back. I said, really? You? What happened to you? He said, I need for you to please pray for me.
My wife will tell you there's another one that came to our house. So I will come to apologize for what I did for you. He said, they're carrying me from hospital to hospital. He said, I've become a guinea pig. And God healed her. We took her to church, God healed her. And when this one was happening, I wasn't even a pastor. But I've read the scripture. And I know where I'm seated. And they can't drag me from there because God put me there. And that's where you are seated too. But you must reign now because nobody can reign for you. You have to reign. I can't reign for you. You have to rise up and exercise your own authority and go to bed and sleep. I know it works. One time I was casting while they were following this spirit around. I said, you must go in Jesus' name. You must go. You can't remain here. Man, after 10 minutes, I say, oh my God. 15 minutes, how long more? And the Lord said, you are just a faithless Christian. He said, that spirit wants to weary you out and mock you. I said, really? He said, yes. He said, if you have faith in my name, at the mention of that name, every name bows. He said, you're just acting faithlessly. He said, that's what you copy from others. And I said, well, I've said it, it's done. And I left. The following day, she came back. She told me how they left her. She came back to herself. But you know, I could have been following her. Because once I say you must go in Jesus' name, she will fall again and make this thing. She came to my office to repeat that thing. Some Sundays ago, I told him, I said, stop. Come on, stop that. That you did in Nigeria, don't do it. Say, sit down here. Come on, sit quiet. I said to the devil, this is my office, okay? It's not your office. Don't do that nonsense here. All this follow tantan table, not the matter. I say in Jesus' name, keep quiet and sit down. He sat down, keep quiet. And I say, now you leave. I'm not staying. You know how it is now. I don't have to explain to you. You know the name. So you are leaving. And I say in the name of Jesus, leave this one. He left. He's in your class. You know the story. If you hear the story, that man's story, you'll be frightened. But 1 second, they left. Because you're a pastor? No. Because God gave us what? Authority. You have, I have. Anybody can do that. But if you're ignorant, you switch places with the devil. You'll be the one shaking your pants, and he's the one doing what? Trampling your head. And he's a wicked spirit. Praise the Lord. Am I communicating? Yeah. So we reign by command. Everybody say command. When was the last time you gave command? When was the last time you gave command? In the name of Jesus. And decree something. You shall decree a thing and it shall be established. When was the last time you decreed anything? Didn't the Bible say if you speak to the mountain, it will move if you believe? Look at the scripture says, this answer follow them that what? In my name they shall what? What is casting? What does casting mean? Huh? It's not just commanding. Praise the Lord, somebody. And Acts chapter 16, verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of what? Divination. Possessed with a spirit of what? Divination. Met us. Which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Verse 17. In verse 17, the same followed Paul and us, and Christ saying, what was he saying? These men are the servants of the Most High, which show us the way of. Is what he's saying not correct? See how the devil deceives him. Say, pastor, they mentioned Jesus there. Ha! I went to prayer house. I was a member. But I was cross bearer. We were singing. If you know we were singing, you will say, wow, these people know what they did. We say, as before bound by Satan in the life of fear and darkness, be you now renewed in the power of our Savior. We were singing it. She was there. Remember, all of us. All of us were there. We sing it, you. And then we heard this, say, wow, this is God. Until one day I woke up, I told my wife, I said, this is not God. I said, this is not God. And my father called me and said, that's not God. Very quiet servant of Jesus. Wouldn't talk. He said, my son, that is not God. In fact, they gave Kenny name. He said, no. He said, the devil can't give my child a name. He said, no. Twitter. He said, it's not God. Yeah. And it was the man that told me that I'll be a pastor. Told me I'll work in overseas. Told me I'll marry my wife when I didn't know her. Every day, anybody, people that will come, she will tell us people that will come, their name, the time they will come, the cloth they will wear, the car, the number, and they will come like that. Foolishly, I was, but my father knew it wasn't God. Brethren, the devil does miracles too. The Bible calls it lying wonders to deceive. Warning you people, be careful. All that glitters. But it's not because I pastor here. You know the church will have four doors. If you don't want to come, I'm not coming to bother you. But I'll tell you the truth to your face so that your blood will not be what? All that glitters. Warning you people now. It's a power day there. It's up to you. So the same followed Paul and us, crying, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. Why didn't Paul start the first day? As many as are led, what? Paul knew it was demonic, but he kept quiet. Because Jesus is the commander. When you want to deal with demons, you must hear from God how to deal with it. You don't work on presumption. You got to honor God. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Must acknowledge Jesus, that is the commander. Acknowledge the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, how do I deal with what? With this. And He will show you. So Paul being grieved, when you want to deal with the devil, you have to be grieved. You really have to be really, really angry with him. Stir your spirit up and really get angry and really deal. Ah, have you ever seen this dog following somebody that they say, go, go, go. one woman was describing how her dog will follow her to the bus stop. He said, honey, go. Honey. And the dog was still licking his leg. Said, honey, sweetie, go. Was still. And then the woman shot, I said, go! The dog turned around. And the Smith Wiggins was saying, that's how you deal with the devil. You don't call the devil honey, go now. No. He won't go. He's not going anywhere. He's a wicked, stubborn spirit. Stay. Don't forget that he's rebellious by nature. You have to get angry and what? Shout at him and get out of here. Let him know you. The authority must be in your word, in your voice, in action, in attitude, so he knows you mean what you are. You will do it. You won't give him option of staying. Don't ever give that spirit any option of what? Insist on it and declare it and believe you're gone and declare you're gone and that's it. So Paul being grieved turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And he came out the tomorrow. When did he come out? The same hour. And you know the story now. He lost the ability to see vision. And then the owners, when they saw there was no more money coming, they brought Paul and said, these people are teaching us strange things. Let's look at Peter. Acts 3:6. Have we been delivered from the power of Satan? What we're talking about is we're the ones to deal with him. He's at our mercy now. Acts 3:6. Then Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. And did Peter pray? Huh? He gave a command. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the man walked. Amen. The man walked. It's a lie. The man didn't walk nothing. Look at verse 6. That's where faith comes. If you say it and you know you believe it, you act on it. And then verse 7. And he took him
by the right hand, and what? Then the leg didn't get healed until Peter lifted him up. Now, if Peter didn't lift him up, nothing would happen. Because that would be saying words you don't believe. If you really believe it, you act on it. So Peter pulled him up, and the Bible said that was when strength what? Came in there. So when we say in Jesus' name, and we're making all this second plan, third plan, we're not lifting nothing up. And Jesus said, amen, I command it to go. And then while you're commanding, you're making second plan because you know this will fail. Those things don't work like that. Let me tell you about faith. Faith is, if I perish, no plan B. Because you believe this is working. No plan B at all. Okay, when Peter lifted him, what, supposing the man crumbled on the ground, what would Peter say? I mean, think of it now. This man has never walked, and you pull him up and leave him. What in the world did Peter think we hold him? Because Peter knew there's power in that name. That the name works. So he won't fall. Lift him up. What a confidence in God and the name of Jesus. Sit down, my brother. Amen. And verse 11, Peter explained all of that. And as the lame man which was healed, heard Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, you know, people had, crowd has now come. So ministry can now start. You know, if it's today, they say, that man is an anointed man of God. And then they line up. They think Peter can reproduce that in any house. They will line up. Then Peter explained to them what happened. Amen. And as the lame man which was healed heard Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And Peter saw it. He answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this now? Or why look at who? Why look ye so what? Why marvel you at this? And why look you so what? Honestly, where? On us. As though by our own power or what? Holiness. We have made this man to what? He said, it's not me. Stop looking at me. Stop looking at me. It's not Peter. It's not my power. And it's not because I'm good enough. What? That's shifting the glory to Jesus. Say, it's not my power. It's not my holiness. This didn't happen because I'm holy. I hope we learn these things. That's the grace and mercy of God. It didn't happen because I'm holy. It's not about me. I'm not the one that made it happen. And it's not my power. You know, they were a follow power. I said, the man carry anointing, carry power. Paul said, Peter said, no. It's not what? Power. It's not my power. I don't carry nothing. Power belongs to who? All of you, some of you, listen, if you do one miracle tomorrow, the next day, you won't, your Sunday school teacher can't talk to you again. Anointing has come. Then tomorrow you have Uzibo ministry. So the thing happens what? Instantly. Uzibo. There's one in, one near Festac. The name is Uzibo. Sharp. Sharp. Verse 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our father, had glorified what? His son Jesus. Can I hear amen? His son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired the murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Peace, whom God had raised from the dead. Whereof we are witnesses. And his name. Somebody say his name. And his name. Through faith in his name. Had made this man what? Strong. Whom you see and know. Yea. He repeated it. The faith which is what? By him.
had given him this perfect soundness in the presence of all of you. Peter says, not me. It's God glorifying his son, Jesus. It's not my holiness. Because he gave us this privilege in Christ that we can exercise this authority so that Jesus is what? Glorified. Can I hear amen? So that Jesus is what? Glorified. So that Jesus is what? Glorified. When we use it, when we talk of the lordship of Jesus, we look at only the obedience part, which is correct. But we don't remember that the lordship of Jesus is to show that Jesus is Lord over everything. Everything. You can't deny the lordship of Jesus one corner and think you are doing it this other corner. The Bible says he's the Lord of all. He's Lord over sickness. He's Lord over everything. When you use his name, you are saying he is the Lord over everything. And I believe in him as the Lord and Savior. Amen? Okay, maybe on Thursday, we'll talk about save from the curse of the law, which is an interesting topic. We're going to delve into it and see how we are saved totally from the curse of the law and how you must walk in the blessings of God as a matter of birthright. Not begging, birthright. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. Come and I say praise the Lord. Birthright. My little girl came. We had the life center. My children came. My grandkids came. And I was taking my granddaughter. I said, I want her to know where everything is in the house. So she can go get them what? I said, it's her birthright. She can go to my bed. In fact, she can jump on that bed. In fact, when they jump on it, me and my wife are excited. My wife gets excited. I say, wow, the children. We enjoy it. When they leave, we allow it small. Before we straight the thing, but I allow it small because it's a joy. It's a joy. I'm telling you. It's what? A joy to see them play in grandpa's house, which means this is my home. Supposing they come to your house and they're not free. And they stay like this. And that's what we do in God's house. I'll start crying. Say, can you go and get it? Say, no. I'm unworthy. I'm your servant. Did you get what I was saying? So we're going to talk about it next Thursday. Delivered from the curse of the law. And I'm going to give you 5 reasons why you can't walk under the curse. Not when you are in Christ. It's not possible. 5 reasons. And I'll show you the new law that's operating that the Christian must be familiar with. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Do you have any question? Okay, I have a question. Can I ask? Why are you in the kingdom of God? Huh? Why are you in the kingdom of God? Joined to Christ because you belong to Jesus, because you believe in Jesus. And the Bible said we are in the world, but we are not what? Which means we don't belong to the kingdom of this world. Why? Satan is the god of this world. We are not under his kingdom. Who is your head? Christ is your head. So do you have 2 heads? One Satan, one Jesus. You have only one. Only one. And you are his body. So where else would the body of Christ be except in the kingdom of God?
How do you bring the blood and forgiveness of sin to somebody? In other words, my question is, this is as a result of the character of God that the blood is necessary for the remission of sin. Because I want to bring it to somebody who doesn't know anything about.
There's no verse of the Bible that told you to. The Bible said the carnal man does not what? That's not it. That's the only one message you have. For God so loved that what? That whosoever, tell him that. If he asks for that person, he said, this is where I stop. Because the devil wants to engage you in other things and distract you. Because he can't understand. He doesn't have the spirit of Christ to teach. That's why you come to the church and teach them this things. But you don't teach it to the world. Are you getting what I'm saying? Eh? You can't go to the world and start teaching. You have become a new spirit. You say, is this witchcraft? No. But it's a fact. You can't understand. There's no scripture that says you go and do that. The scriptures will preach the gospel. It didn't say teach it to them. You explain it to the church. You preach it to the sinners. Now the Christian can understand that I'm a new creature. If any man is in Christ, that Paul was writing to Christians, not to the heathens. But when you go to heathens, you have only one message: Jesus saves. He died for our sins. The best way is you show them what the Bible says. By the time you read the scripture one or two times, if they are really ready, they will be harvested. And sometimes you've sown something, and one of your sisters or brothers somewhere, God will use him to water. It's a fantastic thing when you see the Holy Spirit how it works. Somewhere, your sister somewhere is being put in place by the Spirit of God, who will grab the fruit into the kingdom. But all of you labored. You may not know. So maybe sometime you see him in a convention. He said, "You spoke to me." He said, "Really? Ah, you are now a Christian. Yeah. Have you had that experience before?" Ah, he said, "You are now a Christian. Yeah. God will use all of us. We are his body." That's why you don't argue. You don't force. You just do your part and go and be praying. Do you get it? Huh? The Bible says we should not argue, that it leads to more ungodliness. Okay, so we're done.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.